There are very few questions you'll ever ask yourself more important than what is my personal brand? We've talked about in the program so far, we've talked about how you manage your mind, how you manage your health, how you manage your environment, how you manage your values and priorities, how you manage your vision, how you manage your self-talk. We've talked about some of the things that are important in developing a personal brand. But if you think about this, who you are, your authenticity, your integrity, yourself, is really important. And it's only important because you project it. This is what you give. This is what you deliver to the world. You deliver your personal brand. And if you deliver a false personal brand, you deliver a thing that you have to spend the rest of your born days contriving, trying to make it sound like it's better than what it is, or might it make it sound like worse than what it is, or borrowing somebody else's personal brand, or doing it wrong. So I think ultimately your personal brand comes down to what you wear, what you think, what you feel, where you've been, the trajectory that you've come along, what you've inherited from the story of your life, the narrative that you bring to the table, and most importantly, where you're going. So I think today I just want to share with you some of the most important things that I find that come out of personal branding. As a professional speaker, which is the career I had for 20 years, who I looked like when I stepped on stage and the tone of what I presented was far more important to the audience than what I presented. Now that really sounds strange, but if I came on stage dressed like this, casual in a t-shirt and a pair of jeans, and I was in a corporate environment, it would be hard for those people to think that I was had anything to do with rational, logical work, but I was all to do with the soft skills and the emotional equation of being a human being. So it's not corporate attire. As time went on, I was able to fluctuate in what I wore and how I presented myself. But more importantly than that, what I discovered as a professional speaker was who I was in my hotel room on the journey around the world when I traveled 300 days a year out of 365 and spent 310 bed nights a year, 310 bed nights a year in hotel rooms away from my home and just lived out of a suitcase. And the opportunity in the hotel room to be, to eat burgers, to be a bit sloppy with where things were placed around the room, to put on yesterday's undies because travel, you know, you didn't get time to do laundry. The lack of discipline in my hotel room. I thought that if I decorated myself and stuck a tie on and a business suit and walked down the hallway with lovely polished shoes and walked on stage and started to talk about human development and evolution and personal branding and success and being an inspired human being, I thought none of that mattered. And I guess in retrospect, that's called masking or dress for success, I guess you can say it. But bit by bit, the more authentic I became in my presentations and my speaking career, the more I realized that this behavior in the room permeated out into the conference hall. And so I started to be more worried about what I did off stage than what I did on stage. And we call this practice between performances. So the way I ate in the room by myself at night in front of the TV set became really important to me. I'd turn off the TV, put a bit of music on and sit quietly and have my sushi or whatever I was eating that night and sort of try to feel as if there was some dignity involved in being alone in a room in a hotel. I would watch TV, but I'd be very selective what I watched, and I certainly wouldn't watch it before bed. So sometimes in my corporate travels, I'd be in a hotel by 2 o'clock in the afternoon and be tired, it's raining outside or snowing, and I wouldn't have anything to do. I'd do a bit of computer work. I'd polish my shoes, I'd get everything ready for tomorrow. And then I think, oh, let's watch a bit of TV, and I'd watch junk. So in the end, I started traveling with CDs and I would watch movies over and over again. And this is back a long time ago, of course. But the point I'm making here is who we are offstage is as important, if not more important, than who we are on stage. We develop a thing called self-belief, and that, I think, leads to a topic which I want to talk about to you now, entitlement. I grew up in a very rough environment. We had no money, or we lived in the bush. It was very physical, very violent. And so I grew up thinking that I was not worth very much. And if somebody had walked up to me at the age of 14 and said, here's $1 million, I would have turned around to them and said, what do you want? My friends, as I've grown up in the world and developed friends who are entitled, who grew up with wealthy parents, who grew up in the good side of town, who went to private schools and they have entitlement. And what a precious gift that they were given. Now, everything has a benefit and a drawback. We know that from the earlier work we've done. There's two sides to everything. Being born entitled means that you do raise the bar and have high expectations of yourself. And sometimes those people can never be happy because they never hit the target. They never be as good as what they know they can be. But the wonderful thing that they have is an expectation that life will deliver and that there's no need to compromise. There's no need to sell themselves short. On the other hand, a person like myself who grew up without entitlement fights for what they want, and it's always good enough. And there's always an opportunity to sink into mediocrity. And so for me to continue to grow my business and grow my life and grow my love and grow my success, I've had to remind myself every single day of my life that I am entitled for greatness. I am entitled to the thing I vision. I'm entitled to it. And if I don't do that, if I don't practice that, automatically I gravitate to not being entitled. Now, the consequence of lack of entitlement is really severe. And what it does, it makes us shrink. So a person who doesn't like themselves, a person who doesn't believe in themselves, a person who doesn't believe they are entitled to greatness, starts focusing on other people's entitlement, starts trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. They start to get emotionally engaged in what's not important. And so most of the time, if you drill it down, most people are struggling to like themselves. If you really ask that individual, do you like who you are? Do you like yourself? They will say, yes. Yes, I like myself, as long as my kids like me, as long as the business performs well, as long as my sports results are good. So what we do as a consequence of all this and this lack of entitlement is attach ourselves to things that we say, that's me. I am my results. If I'm going to be an actor, I am my performance. I am my accolades. I am my trophies. If you're a sports person, you might say, I am my placing in the race. I am the result of being me. And I think this is a terrible, terrible witnessing, because a person can spend their entire life wanting to be something they're not. And I think when it comes to personal branding, there is a mirror you stare into, and you stand in front of that mirror saying, this is who I am. And this who I am is never going to change. I can change my clothes, I can change my hairstyle, but I can't change being me. And if I don't like being me, I have a really big problem. Now, all corporate stress, all personal mental health problems, all relationship disasters come from this one little topic, not liking ourselves and attaching to other people or other things to define ourselves. A mother who doesn't work might say, if my kids like me, I'm likable. A person who is not doing the job that they want to do might say, as long as he or she likes me, I'm likable, because my work doesn't like me. I don't get my ego gratified from my work. Now, if you take this whole circle around the seven areas of life, it's a really worthwhile exercise to do, to work out your personal brand based on liking yourself. Now, there's no use building a personal brand and saying, I will like that thing that I'm building. And so this is a caveat on branding, on self-awareness, on spirituality. It's a caveat. When you find yourself starting to become things, do things, act things, build things, create things, develop things, in order to feel good about yourself, be warned. It is a materialistic approach to something that cannot be solved with materialism. I am I, and that's the end of it. And it is no use liking me for being something other than I. And what you realize as time goes on, and I guess maybe you understand this already, you can't change it. You think you can change who you are, and you can change your job, and you can change who you're with, and you can change what you wear and what you eat, and you can go on diets and fad fast and go on holidays, but you're still you. And that you is very likable. We say there's nothing you've done, there's nothing you've not done that's not worthy of love. And I think this process for an entitled person, who believes that they're worthy of the world liking them, believes that they're worthy of their success, has a greater advantage than someone who grows up thinking that entitlement is a bad thing, or grows up thinking they're not entitled. And I think that's one thing that we need to learn at some point, as early as we possibly can in our lives, that we are entitled. And for some, that's automatic process and they won't even know they're missing it, so they've got it. There, for others, it's a continual journey of struggle. Now, just to close this off and make sure we're really clear with each other, every human being is born equal. Nothing's ever missing, it just changes in form. And so to say somebody wasn't born with entitlement is absolutely wrong. To say somebody wasn't born with material entitlement is absolutely right. So I know people who were born with massive entitlement, but it was spiritual. They believe they're entitled to be loved and love. And then they get into a marriage, which is material, and they don't feel that love. They feel like they've been displaced. Their entitlement may not be material, and then they'll still have to do the material work. I got born into a place where material entitlement didn't exist. None of us felt entitled to materially, but entitled to be ourselves, entitled to be ourselves, we fought for and we fight for, and my siblings are the same. We stand entitled to be who we are. And I wonder if I could switch places with someone who's materially entitled and swap out my spiritual, so-called, or personal entitlement, if I'd like to change places. And the honest truth is, I wouldn't. I like the struggle of reminding myself every single day I am entitled to be this world leader in the work I do, to bring the universal laws into your home, into your life, to teach people how to personally brand themselves authentically, from what they think to what they feel, all the way through to what they wear and how they treat themselves, all the way through to what they say and what they do and what they achieve. I love this lineage. From the inside comes the outside. As above, so below. So with all this and the caveats I've presented to you today, I hope you can sit down with a pen and paper and say, what's my narrative? Where do I come from? What's my values? What do I believe? What do I pray for? What do I feel? What do I want to deliver to the world? What do I want the world to see me as? How am I marketing myself to the world around me? And am I making people around me feel good from being around me, which is really important piece of the jigsaw puzzle, and work out this journey of personal branding. It's a really, really important exercise. One of the most important in life. This is Chris. You have a great day. Bye for now.